From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. On Wednesday this past week, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee approved three individuals who were nominated by President Joe Biden to the United States Postal Service Board of Governors. The vote was 8-4. Voting no were Senators Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, James Lankford of Oklahoma, Rick Scott of Florida, and Josh Hawley of Missouri. It is anticipated that the committee-approved nominees will go to the Senate floor for a vote in the near future. On this week's edition of Naps Chat, I welcome Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, who represents the 8th Congressional District of Illinois. That's the district encompassing the northern and western suburbs of Chicago. The congressman was first elected in 2016 to fill the seat vacated by Senator Tammy Duckworth. He was reelected twice with growing majorities. Among his committee assignments, Representative Krishnamoorthy serves on the House Oversight and Reform Committee, on which he chairs its subcommittee on economic and consumer policy. In addition, last month he introduced H.R. 2230, the so-called DeJoy Act, that would in part maintain current Postal Service standards. Welcome to Naps Chat, Congressman.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Congressman, before we start getting into the weeds, I just want to ask you, as I've asked other guests in the past, what is your first recollection of having sent or received mail?
Oh, my goodness. Growing up, that was an event, my friend, every day. I mean, you never knew what was in the mailbox. And so you had to go and check the mail and see if you received the important letter or maybe a gift. And then, of course, in later years, there'd be more important mail. But that was always a big event in our household. Actually, I grew up in Peoria, Illinois, and that was thought to be kind of ground zero for the heartland of America. And so we would receive lots of samples, marketing samples in the mail at that time. I remember we'd get all this laundry detergent and shampoo and, you know, different products sent. And mail was always an event.
Now, Congressman, those of us who have been following the committee's Postal Service work note how outspoken you have been about postal quality and improving the Postal Service. I would note that back in 2017, you wrote an article for one of Capitol Hill's weekly newspapers, and the article was entitled, "In Partisan Washington, Something We Really Agree On, Saving the Postal Service." What's changed?
It's a great question. And actually, if you ask Americans, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, the public, the vast majority of the public is incredibly supportive of the U.S. Postal Service. And in fact, I think it's the most respected institution in government. So I don't think the public has changed in its stance with regard to the Postal Service. I think what has changed are the politics and, you know, quite frankly, the desire of some to essentially chip away at the Postal Service from a business or competitive standpoint. And, you know, I think the American people don't want that to happen.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you introduced legislation a few weeks ago, and its goal was to maintain the current service standards of the United States Postal Service. Could you tell me how you attracted co-sponsors? I believe there are 9 co-sponsors right now of that legislation. What you intend to do to promote it, and why it was introduced?
Well, the reason it was introduced is because the current Postmaster General came before Congress on at least 2 occasions when I had a chance to question him. And unfortunately, I think that he just didn't show an appreciation for how much Americans rely on the Postal Service. I think at one point he said something along the lines of, you know, so what if a piece of mail is a day late? And what that ignores is, you know, the person who's waiting on their medication, their life-saving medication, the person who's waiting on a bill payment, he or she's a small business person, or somebody who's waiting on an important package. And as a consequence, when he decided to propose kind of lowering delivery standards, you know, basically I felt compelled to say, no, you can't, you know, have bad standards and then call that all of a sudden the level of service people need to expect. And so that's why we introduced that bill.
That legislation came right around the same time or slightly before the time which he released his 10-year strategic plan. Because I note at the late February postal hearing, postal oversight hearing, where you queried the Postmaster General rather fervently on the speed of mail delivery and how service deteriorated between June and the beginning of 2021, you tried to pin the PMG down on the yet to be, at that time, the yet to be released 10-year strategic plan. Has the unveiling of the plan answered your questions?
No, it's created more questions. And, you know, essentially what, you know, perhaps your listeners already know this, probably to know it in even more detailed fashion than I do. But essentially, just take first class mail delivery, for example. You know, a large percentage of the first class mail delivery that would otherwise arrive now in 1 to 2 days is now going to get delayed to 3 to 5 days. And that's just unacceptable for a lot of people. I think that most of my constituents would be up in arms over that. So that's why that particular act was introduced and received so much attention.
Now, I want to go back in history a bit. You share a geographic area with Congressman Danny Davis. He represents Interior Chicago. In 2007, Congressman Danny Davis was chairman of the subcommittee with jurisdiction over the Postal Service. And he was outraged. He was furious that that at that time Chicago was at the bottom of the heap on overnight mail delivery. And that bottom of the heap rep was 91%. That means Chicago was at the bottom of the heap with 91% of the mail being received on time in 2007. In December 2020, the Chicago on-time performance was 69.8%. Do you have a reaction to that?
It's horrible. And that kind of illustrates how far down our service has come. And, you know, I'll just give you an example. I sent something by priority mail on Friday, I believe, or Thursday. And, you know, we were expecting it to have arrived by Monday, and it still hasn't arrived. And, we're not really sure what's happened. And I think that, again, I think that Mr. DeJoy has really changed the way that the USPS operates in such a negative fashion that, as I said in my hearing, in which I questioned Mr. DeJoy, sending a piece of mail is like playing a game of chance. You just don't know what's going to happen. But the stakes are too high to, you know, roll the dice as you would in Las Vegas.
Now, I note, as I was looking at your background, in addition to being an attorney, a Harvard-educated attorney, you did your undergraduate work in mechanical engineering at Princeton. About a year ago, I asked this question of another engineer, a civil engineer, though, and that's Representative Dave McKinley, about postal service and solving problems. Engineers are known as problem solvers. That is their skill set. That is the reason why they are highly recruited throughout our economy. You've looked at the postal system. You're an engineer. What would you do to solve the problem?
Well, there are lots of issues that need to be addressed, but one is we can't change the service standards because the service standards are really what people have built their businesses around. Indeed, a lot of people have built their lives around if they, you know, especially if they depend on it for their medications and so forth. What you do if you change the service standards is that you're going to get these people to basically work around the USPS. they may decide, you know what, I'm going to go with some other carrier or find some other way to cope. And essentially what you end up doing is hollowing out the USPS, and it slowly, slowly dies. And yet the USPS is too vital of an institution. It's the glue that holds our country together in many ways, and we can't allow it to perish. And so I say, first of all, we have to establish what are the service standards that the American people want and keep those, and then resource the Postal Service accordingly. We also have to make some bipartisan reforms that I'm glad that there's been progress in. And you are probably intimately familiar with this, but, you know, removing the pre-funding mandate for healthcare benefits for retirees is very, very important. It's an unusually onerous burden that only the USPS bears and no other governmental or private sector entity that I can think of bears. And it causes the USPS to constantly be in the red. We then should integrate those retirees into Medicare, which makes a lot of sense. There are a number of other reforms that we have to do, including, you know, investing in the USPS so that it can handle packages and parcels better than it does today. As you know, packages and parcels are becoming an increasingly large component of what the USPS delivers, as opposed to, you know, flat envelopes. So there are a number of measures that I would take. But as an engineer, I think that, first of all, you have to figure out what is your customer want and then build around that, engineer around that, as opposed to deciding that you're going to make them settle for what you can deliver, and that never works.
I was noticing a couple of studies that came out over the last couple of months about how retailers are differentiating themselves from one another in marketing, particularly in the pandemic, and that is they're differentiating themselves, and I think it's called strategic differentiation is the term of the art, and their strategic differentiator is the speed with which they can get a product from their warehouse to your door. When the Postmaster General revamps his service standards to make expectations such that you shouldn't expect to get the package in 2 to 3 days, but rather 3 to 5 days, how does that play into the concept of strategic differentiation and competing with other folks who may want to do the same thing the Postal Service does?
Well, we lose any advantage that we had, and we probably just flat out look worse as an option. I mean, think about what happens if we start saying that, you know, first class mail can be expected to arrive between 3 and 5 days. I think our competitors will eat our lunch. They'll figure out a way to set up their own delivery systems, maybe even charge more than the Postal Service does, and get it to people within 1 to 2 days. And I think that the other thing, which, you know, I would not be surprised about, is if we go down this road where we can't get even a letter to people in 1 to 2 days, you know, they're just going to go to electronic delivery of various items that they would have otherwise preferred to send manually or to have. And I know that I always like to have hard copy letters in hand for various reasons. And in fact, my office sends tens of thousands of letters through the U.S. mail every year. But during the pandemic, when Mr. DeJoy did his thing and just really messed up the service standards, we had no choice but to email certain and scan and email certain vital documents that people relied upon for their Social Security benefits or immigration matters or what have you. And I can see others doing the same. We don't want that to happen.
I noted earlier in my introduction that you introduced H.R. 2230, which would maintain current service standards. Congressman Peter DeFazio introduced the legislation to repeal the pre-funding requirement. Congresswoman Maloney, the chairman of the committee that you sit on, Oversight and Reform, is going to be introducing legislation, or is crafting legislation, that would include elements of both the bills. Can you share with us how all this legislative work will sort of mesh together at some point?
I think that Chairwoman Maloney is doing a really good job of trying to marshal as much support on the committee for the legislation she puts forward. For instance, I think she actually had a lot of Republican support for removal of the pre-funding mandate, as well as in Medicare integration. My understanding is that this particular legislation or these measures would also have to, go through the Ways and Means Committee and so forth. But I think the main point is that I think she's trying to usher this through with as much support as possible, and I think that's a good strategy.
H.R. 2230 is not to supplant the chairwoman is working on. Rather, it is supplementary to it? Or how does it work with the legislation that she may introduce in the very near future?
That's right. It doesn't replace anything that she is trying to introduce. And it's actually with regard to just a different subject matter. The legislation that I'm talking about relates to service standards, whereas what she originally introduced had more to do with the pre-funding mandate and Medicare integration. And so I could see them, coming together in another piece of legislation that she's putting forth.
Senator Duckworth, whose district you inherited when she left, has been very outspoken with regard to her views about the Postal Service on the record. I've noticed it in a couple of the Illinois papers. Additionally, as I mentioned, Congressman Davis has tremendous history with the Postal Service. I know you work closely with Congressman Jerry Connolly and others on the committee. Tell me, how do you folks work together, in the postal space?
I think you have a lot of people like the people that you mentioned, Jerry and Jerry Connolly and Danny Davis and others. We all see eye to eye on a lot of these issues. Look, we want to usher the U.S. Postal Service into a time of modernization. We don't want to just keep everything the same and think that nothing needs to be changed or improved, but rather we want to see it done in a way that maintains the confidence of the American people. I don't think it's a stretch to say that, when you change service standards, when you make a change in the USPS, people notice it like almost right away. And we hear about it right away in my office. And so I think we have to tread lightly when we talk about, something as important as service standards. And we have to think very carefully before tinkering with the USPS. Otherwise, you end up with the horrible service that we've seen in the last 1 year.
In my introduction to the program, I mentioned that this week, the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee approved by an 8-4 vote the three nominees to the Postal Board of Governors, new nominees. To some extent, that's really the only direct influence some people would suggest Congress has on the governance of the Postal Service is the selection and the confirmation of Board of Governors. What role do you think Congress should have in postal operations?
Well, I think that what has been crafted is kind of a compromise between the executive branch and Congress with regard to the Postal Service. As the legislation of the 1970s tried to end the politicization of the Postal Service, either on the part of the president or the Congress, by giving each of the branches of government some important say in how the Postal Service is conducted or operated. And so the compromise was Congress gets to pass legislation that, helps to improve the operations of the Postal Service. There are inspectors general that report to Congress, have dual responsibilities, making sure the laws are carried out properly. The president gets to appoint the Board of Governors, but the Board of Governors really operates the Postal Service along with the Postmaster General on a day-to-day basis. So the compromise that was arrived at is a little clunky, so to speak, but it's supposed to keep politics out of the post office. But I think what we've seen is politics, unfortunately, has reared its ugly head in the Board of Governors and in the Postmaster General's office. And I'm hoping that at least during this administration, the Biden administration, we can take the politics out. We can put people in the Board of Governors who aren't running super fun, super PACs, as I discovered in researching the background of the current Board of Governors, who don't advertise on the USPS website that they, you know, they are the former chair of the RNC or they're a great fundraiser or something like that. That nothing, not, none of that stuff has anything to do with the mail. And so we got to keep that, you know, out of the post office, and we have to return it to a position of, you know, being nonpartisan. And that's kind of my goal.
Congressman Krishnamoorthy, I want to thank you for joining me on this week's episode of NAPS Chat and pray that this is a productive 117th Congress.
Thank you so much, Bob.
I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.